And we're back. We're back from Mix. We're back from vacation. Still wearing the same shirts. Thanks, Carl, for the Hawaiian shirt today.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for coming on again.
Pleasure.
Yeah, so, you know, every time you come on, you show us something really cool that can make our job as a developer easier by tools, right? Make
right.
the software do some of the work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so today is going to be no different. What right. I'd like to do is I'd like to show... The WPF designer for Visual Studio, Cider.
Sure.
And so so today I'm going to walk you through Cider. Mm-hmm. We're going to build an app. I'm going to show you how to data bind. We're going to bring in some images, use some resources, and we can do all of this without having to type in our XAML.
Awesome.
A pretty cool app. So let's get going.
Okay.
So new look of Visual Studio that we've all seen from the videos from PDC and Mix.
Right.
And I have a little project here called Cider. And this is actually the title of this video, which is Cider, soon to be part of your day.
Right. There you go.
All right. So I'm going to just go ahead and close down my start page, and we'll go ahead and open up. I'll explain this model here and the view model in a few minutes when we data bind to it. So what we have is our objective here is to go ahead and build an app that has a menu, a status bar, a tab control, multiple tabs. We'll go ahead and make a user control that would be our view.
Mm-hmm.
So we can we'll make two of them real quick, show you, not necessarily looking to drag and drop and press F5 to see the app, but more, what does the tools do for
right.
us? What is the tool going to do for us as developers, as WPF
sure.
and the Silverlight developers?
Okay.
All right, so we have our typical window here with a root grid. If we click outside of the border, then we're selecting the window.
Mm-hmm.
If we click inside, we can see that we're selecting the grid. We can also select another way. There's a really cool tool window called the Dock Outline.
Mm-hmm.
You can access it from the menu where you can go View, Other Windows, Document Outline.
Okay.
Or you can go ahead and press this little icon down here,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you click it, it'll bring up the Dock Outline. It allows you to select things. So you can click on them, and you get a little preview. Of course, if we had some controls in there, we'd get a better preview.
Right.
But it does allow you to select things. So I'm going to go ahead and with the grid selected, I'm going to delete that.
Okay.
And what I would like to do is use a dock panel. I'm a dock panel person.
Right.
Really like the dock panel. All right, so we'll come down here. There's a couple ways you can create controls. And the first one is go ahead and just take it from dock panel. You can just drag and drop right into the design surface.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll get is a control that you drag with some default properties.
Okay.
Purpose of the properties are so that when you drop it, it doesn't go you know, crazy and take over the whole screen, or so small that you can't see it.
Right.
So we put some default properties on there.
Okay.
Now, and so in this case, the dock panel, what we want is we want the dock panel to go and consume the space of the window.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple things we could do. One, we could just select all the properties down here in our XAML editor and delete it, and we can see that the dock panel is now consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to do it is if you know that you had to do that, you could go ahead and just take your dock panel icon from your toolbox and just drag and drop right into your XAML editor,
okay.
and you've accomplished the same task.
Right.
And you can see that now the dock panel's there, we've selected it. All right, so let's get ourselves a menu in here, and to do that, come over to our, here's our little menu control. We can just double click on it. Since the dock panel was selected, the menu goes ahead and it parents it. It becomes a child of the dock panel.
Okay.
And so we'll just go ahead and go down here and grab these properties. And we can see the menus now consume the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're in a dock panel, what we want to do is we want to say, you know, the dock panel allows you to say, hey, I want to be on the top or the bottom, the right or the left, or just the rest of
it. Sure.
So, menus are typically at the top, so there's a property, it's an attached property called dock panel dock, and come
mm-hmm.
over here and we can say I want to be at the top.
So and I like that you could search to find the property.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's
yeah
great.
I should have said something there. Yeah, you could just type in, you'll see me doing this all day.
Okay.
Now what's really cool is that search persists through selection even.
Okay.
And so watch this. So if I come over here and I take my stack panel and I just I'm looking for my status bar.
Uh-huh.
So I take my status bar and I double click it. Now notice that the dock is now selected on the status bar.
Or even the search term.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's
and
pretty
then
powerful.
I come over here and go bottom. So now this is on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just come down here and remove the properties. Of course, except our dock property. I don't want to eat that one. And now we can see that our status bar is here. All right, so now what we need is we need our tab control to consume the rest of the space.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing as we've always been doing. With our dock panel selected, we can come over here. And what we're looking for is our tab control. And tab control is right here. Just double click, and we can see that we've got a tab control now. and I'll do the same exact thing I've been doing. I'll just go ahead and just eat these properties right here. So now that my tab control consumes the space.
Okay.
All right, but now what we really want to do before we proceed is to get our menu with some menu items in it, and our status bar could use something to look at, right?
Sure.
And so as you can see it, and you're like, well, where are they? Well, they're there, but they're small because there's nothing inside these containers.
Right.
So again, the dock outline comes into real play here. It's a very big help. So you can click on your menu. So now we can see that our menu selected in the designer and also here on the...
It's in sync.
Yeah, everything's
XAML
all.
View and
absolutely.
Design view. Okay.
So now a menu has an items collection. So we'll just come over here and you can see how fast the search for the property just instant.
Oh, yeah.
Makes a real simple workflow. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll click our add button to add a menu item. And this is going to be our file.
Okay.
So this will be file. And then what we'd like to do is to go ahead under file, we want, say, exit. We want to be able to exit the program.
Uh-huh.
So we can now search for, while I'm in the collection editor for the menu, I can now search for the items collection on this menu.
Okay.
So I'll come over here. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add exit.
So you're creating the submenu.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you want to name them, so you can just search for your name, and let's say this was MNU exit. So that way, maybe I want to attach a handler to it later or something, I could.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we have is we have file and menu, and look at that. Nice, clean XAML, simple,
yes.
Just really easy, right?
Right?
We like easy. We like simple and fast. So now what I did is I used my doc outline, selected my status bar, go over in here, and let's add two status bar items to this. So what I want to do on the left side, so we'll take this first one over here, is I want this to be the welcome to Happy Cider. And the other one, what I want to do is I want to make this one would normally show, it would have some control in here that would display time.
Okay.
I most of my applications, I typically put the little time there. I always do that with the date and time. So a lot of times in business apps, people want to know, what's the date and time? And
yeah.
So I like to just show it.
They don't have to go anywhere. It's just right
there. Right. And so now, so we want this one to be on the right side, right?
Okay.
So what we'll do is we can, again, see how you can just do a search. So there's a horizontal alignment. I'm going to just put this guy on the right. And then I want to set its background so that just so we can see that, yes, it's there and, you know, how much space it consumes
sure.
and that kind of stuff. So in Visual Studio 2010, we have this brush editor that we've added.
Oh,
it allows you to do some really cool stuff. Right. So you could do things like you could make it a null brush. You can make it a transparent brush, a solid color brush. You can make it a gradient brush. You can make an image brush.
Mm-hmm.
So for right now, why don't we just go with the solid color brush. And you can pick either the colors from the names here, which is kind of cool, oops, or you can go ahead and you can use this little editor. So watch this. You can just come down here. You can pick like a happy color for our Hawaiian shirts here. Kind of, there we go.
Palm tree green.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes,
palm tree
there
green.
You go.
Drinking cider on the beach. How cool is that?
There you go.
Oh, yes. So we could see that our designer is very happy right now, right?
Right.
So real simple to do that. The only other thing that I can see is that I failed to name our window. And by the way, you can either select this and press delete, or you can hit the little X button.
Mm-hmm.
It clears it out, and then we'll just look for title. So there's title. My window title is Happy Cider. All right, so now we're ready to go ahead and make our first user control to stick inside our tab item.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and name this one here. Let's click on our tab item, and we can see here, you just a little header. And a tab item, let's call this shirts. All right, so we're going to make a user control that's going to display a shirt and some sizes. Real just simple, just kind of show the workflow and how does all this happen.
Okay.
Probably time to save our app here. All right, so to my solution, inside my solution, I'm going to go ahead and add a user control, a new item, user control. And I'm going to call this shirt view.
Okay.
Following the view model pattern that
yes.
I'm a little evangelist for that. It's very.
I know you're a big fan of the MVVM.
Big fan
yes.
of MVVM.
Right.
Okay. I like simple. Simple is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now what we've just done, we opened up a user control. And this particular user control, what I want to do is I want to point out a couple of things real quick. So I'm going to. This is that little zoom toolbar, which is kind of cool, where you can make things a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need more room. Now, what I just want you to see is that it has a D design height and D design width.
Okay.
So by default, when we create a user control in Visual Studio 2010, for WPF or Silverlight, it's going to come with this design width and design height built in.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, what we did is we hard-coded height and width, and then when the user control got consumed, if the developer failed to remove it, then it stayed 300 by 300. It was a little frustrating for people.
Mm-hmm.
We heard the feedback. And you'll notice that this right here uses the same properties, design properties, as Expression Blend does. So the two applications move back. The application can move from Blend to from Blend to Visual Studio, interop, real simple, works great.
Sure.
All right, so what we have here is, what I'd like to do is, the look I'm looking for is to have a border and then put a couple controls inside of it.
Okay.
So I'm going to do like we've done before. I'm going to select my root object and get rid of it.
Okay.
Come over here, and I'll just, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab myself a border from my toolbox right here and just drop it right into my design surface.
Mm-hmm.
So now the border is over here now. Okay, so what we'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll set this up to 100%, kind of just get all sorted out here. All right, so with my border selected, there's a few things I'd like to do. So let's take a look at a few properties, like the brush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling Hawaiian today, so let's stay with that and maybe kind of go with this little orange thing. Okay, and we'll just grab our little
indicator.
Yeah, look at this thing. All right, so there we
go.
There's a happy border. That's a border brush, a border thickness. So I'm going to try one and see if that works.
Uh-huh.
And for borders, typically they have a corner radius. Let's go with 15 today. And, well, a border's not too visible, is it?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so let's go back over here to border and put on our designer cap a little bit.
There you go.
There we go.
Now we can see it.
Now we can see our border.
See all that excited orange.
Yes. So it's going to be happy. So a border is a content control. It can take one child.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to need to do is go ahead inside our border, just drop a grid in there, and we'll do just like we've done in the past. I'll just come down here, select all the default properties. It'll now consume, and now we can work with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so over here, it'd be nice to have an image for our shirts. So I'll come over here, and I'm just going to put an image right here. And our image control will come down here, and the default property is the source. And if I click this little ellipsis button over here, what it's going to allow me to do, since I don't have any images in my solution, is to go navigate on my disk, go find an image and associate it.
Okay.
So I can come over here, click add. Takes me to my pictures directory, and what do you know? I got a little
surprise.
Like a surprise. And you can see that what it's going to do is that it'll set the source property to this path.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the assembly notation. And the reason we do this is so that if you're using a referenced assembly, then it would use this this particular notation. If you're not in a referenced assembly and you like the shorter syntax here, you can just remove it. And we'll click OK. And there's our shirt. And whenever you add an image, it's always good to set the stretch property to the appropriate value. So for me, I like uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I like uniform is so that no matter what I do, it maintains the height and width correctly.
Right.
Okay. So there's our image. We've got our little image sitting over here. Now that looks pretty happy. Now, what we'd like to do is we probably need a title for this thing. So I'm going to come over here. I'm going to find my text block and just drag a text block and drop it right up here on my grid.
Okay.
Now, one of the cool things you're going to notice, you can see here that this text block, as I drag it around, notice it's aligned to the left and top.
Mm-hmm.
In Visual Studio 2010, if I move over on this edge, it still remains left and top aligned.
Okay, good.
Which is a lot of developers are going to be very happy about this.
Right.
The CIDR designer does not alter your alignments.
Okay.
When
great.
You move something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what we want.
That's
yes.
what we want.
<Thank you. laughs>
Exactly.
Very
so
good.
What we can do, you'll notice we got these nice adorner snap lines here,
mm-hmm.
is we're going to go ahead and align this so that it stretches all the way across, and we'll just come down here. And this way, it'll just consume the whole space, and we'll call this here. This is our text property, and its text is going to be shirt, something like order shirt.
Okay.
And then let's go ahead and allow the customer to go ahead and they've seen the shirt. Let's allow them to pick some sizes. So the easiest way to do that when we're talking about picking is using a radio button. That always works nice.
Mm-hmm.
And radio buttons are typically in group boxes. So we're fine down here. We'll just drag ourselves a little group box over here on our design surface. We can size a little bit because these are going to be kind of small. And now you can see with the group box, notice it has this little drag adorner.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you can do that. I mean, that's kind of neat, where it allows you to move it around. It gives you something to grab a hold of. Except I just grabbed the wrong one. That's my bad. So when we grab this is again why if you grab the wrong adorner, that's why we have this document outline. See where it'll allow you to you pick the right one,
mm-hmm.
which was my mistake. Okay, so now we got our group box. Group boxes all have headers, and so we'll just do something a little along the lines of size. And we noticed that inside our group box that its default child is a grid. So we're going to go and just pull that out, and let's stick a stack panel in there instead.
Okay.
So here's my stack panel, and I'll just drag and drop it right into. And if you miss, Control Z allows you to put it back in there.
Good old Control Z.
There we go.
All right.
So now we got our stack panel selected. Now we'll just go ahead and pop in some radio buttons to provide our selection. All right. So now with these radio buttons, we can see that they're there. What we need to do is we need to
make them fit a little better.
Yeah, make them fit a little better, make them look a little bit better. And at the same time, I'd like to do it all together at the same time.
Okay.
So what I can do is over here in my stack panel, I can select my stack panel. Now it's selected. If I press Control A, what it does is the first time you press that, it selects all the children.
Mm-hmm.
So that was real easy. I just selected all the children. Now I can just go work on them. We can see that over here we have multiple objects selected.
Okay.
So we got like height, and here it's currently set at 16. That again is the default. So I'm just going to hit reset. So this little icon over here is called the property marker.
Uh-huh.
And in Visual Studio 2010, the property marker gives you access to resetting values. It allows you to let's just look at it. It allows you to apply data bindings, apply a resource, or extract a particular value to a resource.
Okay.
It also gives you an indication of where the value is coming from. So mm-hmm. Is it set locally? Is it inherited? Is it coming from a resource? And the property marker does tell you that. And also when you hold your mouse over, it'll tell you exactly where the value is coming from.
Oh, that's
that helps
awesome.
Developers answer the question, why is my button blue?
Right.
Right?
Because
that's, you know, sometimes that can be a little...
Well, with styles being in different dictionaries.
Yeah, like what happened? How did this happen? You know, so we've tried to make it a discoverable feature and so make it easy to understand.
So, and real quick,
that
black mark really shows you, you said that was the default. That was the design time default was 16, but it's actually not the default of the control.
That's
why that one's black. And that so that's great. I mean, that's a great indicator.
Right, just like kind of like WinForms did, where they used to bold the names whenever you change the property. So now mm-hmm. we have a bold on our property marker,
cool.
which is really cool. So if we reset it, that changed that to auto. Here's our width. We'll just reset that too. And now all I really need to do now is go ahead and name mine. So mm-hmm. I can come down here and I'll click off to single select, grab this first one. And now all I can do is come down here to content and make this real simple. So I got small and grab my next one. See how everything just kind of works together. Medium
mm-hmm.
and design surface, really happy design surface. And it'd be nice if these were all kind of spaced out a little bit better, right?
Right.
So in order to do that, I'll go ahead and stack panel. I'll select them all, go to my margin property, and I'll set it for 3.5. We give it a nice little spacing. And presto, we got something that looks okay. It looks decent, right?
Sure.
So now, watch what's going to happen here. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to build my project.
Okay.
And now, when I go back to window one, we're going to have the opportunity now. I'm going to go to my toolbox. All right, so now that we've built our project, one of the
new features.
One of the new features, if you will, or one of the processes that takes place is for WPF applications and Silverlight applications,
uh-huh.
we auto-populate the toolbox with controls.
Right.
And basically what we've done is we've decided to auto-populate the toolbox with types in the current assembly or the reference assembly that's derived from Framework Element.
Okay.
So that means any of the types that you may have created, the controls and text boxes you derived from, made a new one, they're all going to show up now here in your toolbox with a tab for each of the project names.
Okay.
So it makes it real easy to come over here and drop this user control right into my tab item.
Well, I like the hint of the assembly name there as well.
Yeah. Just
thinking of reference assemblies and how you could get lost.
Absolutely.
That's a great hint.
Right. They did a really good job with this. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and I should use my designer instead of this. So I'll come over here and pull this out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we'll do, since we know that the user control is going to consume the area of the tab control, mm-hmm. down here, I'm sorry, the tab item, I'm just going to go ahead and drag and drop this control right into here and just let it go. And we can see that, presto, it pops up right up on our design surface, mm-hmm. and it's happy.
Right, and it's fit to the size that mm-hmm. it has available. That's pretty
right.
cool.
And we can do a control K, control D, which is our document format command. And you can see that down here, what we have is real happy XAML, uh-huh. and I didn't have to get in here to do this. Now, let me give you one other quick, I'll show you one other very quick feature, which is our data binding feature. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to go ahead and on my tab, I'm going to go ahead and add a tab.
Okay.
And so this one, I'm going to call this one customer and renamed it customer. And I'll go ahead and save, and I'm going to add one more user control here. Right click, add user control. I'll just call it customer
view.
Customer view,
of course.
All right, so for our customer view, what we have here, and I'm going to demonstrate a scenario that has frustrated developers in the past, mm-hmm. which is with model items, data items, that are not creatable.
Okay.
So that would be, for instance, we've got a lot of frameworks out there that protect that have data items that are never created by the UI. Instead, the UI code calls into the business layer, and it constructs the object, sets mm-hmm. all its properties correctly, and returns back the created item.
Okay.
And so what I have here is I have a little customer, but it has a private constructor.
Okay.
Typically in the past, our designer just can't create it, doesn't know what to do with it.
Sure.
And so consequently, we wouldn't be able to see the properties.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what I've done is I have this customer view model, and I'm exposing a one command and also the customer object.
Okay.
All right. So we're not trying to actually make a really cool app. I just want to show you two things real fast so you can understand what's going on here. So the first one is we have our button, and the next one is our text box. And all I want to do is bind these two UI elements to the data, right?
Okay.
All right. So in order to do that, this view or this UI here has no concept of its data context.
Uh-huh.
And typically what a lot of developers like to do is go ahead and set data context in code so that the design surface, since the data context is set in code, the design surface would have no way of knowing what's going on, right?
Yeah.
All right, so what we've done is we've given the ability to developers to provide a hint, if you will, mm-hmm. to tell the design surface what is going to be the model at design time. What model should it assume and use?
Sure.
So we don't have any tooling over this part, but I can show a couple of nice features. So what it's called is D data context, or design data context.
Sure.
So if I hit D, then you can see there's our design height and design width that we had.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah. So there's D data context. Now watch what happens when I hit the left angle or the left little bracket thing here. Notice that it put in the left and the right for me.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of cool.
Very good.
Right?
Saved me one keystroke there.
And so here we got markup extension IntelliSense. So if I was setting up a binding, you can see all the properties. Look how nice this is.
Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah.
XAML heads are going to love this.
Right.
I'm a XAML
head. Yeah.
So we have a thing called deep design instance.
Okay.
And in the constructor, what we're going to do is we're going to pass it a type.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I need to do is go ahead and set up
a reference.
Yep, a little XML namespace local, and we'll just pick our project here.
Okay.
So local. So you notice that it, right inside the markup IntelliSense, mm-hmm. I mean the markup extension, you get this great IntelliSense.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and bind to my view model.
Okay.
So now, let's go ahead and we'll just save this. Oops. We can save this here. I'm going to click on my button, and what I want to do is I want to set the command of my button to the command that's on my view model.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, I select command, I can open this up, apply data binding, and now you're going to notice, see that the source, it knows the data context of my view model. I can just click on my save command.
That's great.
Click away, and immediately what it went and did is it set up my binding for me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to touch my XAML.
That's cool.
So here's my text box,
mm-hmm.
text property. Data binding. I've already got my view model. I'm going to go ahead and select my customer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we'll make this one to the first name. And we've got some abilities to converters, some other options here. Mm-hmm. And we can just click away. And we can notice here. And look what's happened. It's
great.
Done text.
Yeah.
Isn't that just fantastic?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So let's try one more thing. Let's say that we had, let me bring my toolbox back into view since Carl hit it. So you probably noticed that we had a Boolean property in our model.
Yeah.
And what that was, I'll show you what this property was, and there's a reason why I'm showing you this here. So we have a thing was referred. Mm-hmm. So let's say that this customer was referred by another customer. That means it would probably have some other controls that would relate to that property.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what we can do is, let's say that we just had a grid. I'm going to draw another grid over here, and we'll just imagine that in this grid were properties or UI controls that were only displayed if the customer was referred by somebody else. It would probably have the guy's name and his email.
Sure,
or
referral data.
Yeah.
Who referred?
So what we want to do is we want to set the visibility of that grid equal to that property. All right. So what we have here is we have a visibility type binding to a Boolean type.
Right.
So in WPF and Silverlight, we're going to use what we call a converter
yes.
to convert one type of data to another, makes it seamless, and everybody's happy
uh-huh.
without writing any code. So
okay.
on our grid, we'll come over here to our visibility property. Okay, visibility, and I'm going to data bind my visibility property on customer to the was referred,
mm-hmm.
and now I need a converter. So I come down here, and one of the converters that's supplied with WPF is the Boolean to Visibility Converter.
Oh, great.
So down here, it's part of the system. Bool to Visibility Converter, create new. And so what we're going to do, it's going to go ahead and create our resource for us. So here's our Boolean to Visibility Converter, and I like to name them like this.
Okay.
And I'll just go ahead and create it locally like people typically do. And now, believe it or not, it did all that code for us. So you can see that it wired up the binding correctly. Notice
cool.
that it's even dotted in
uh-huh.
to where it's supposed to, which is really kind of cool. And then you come up here, and it's added this resource right here.
Yeah.
And so now we're pretty much done. We can go ahead and build our project. Remember that the toolbox gets populated as a function of rebuilding the project.
Right.
And now you can see that it's been added. So we come over here. We'll just go ahead and close this one down. I'm going to reload. And come down here as our tab item. We'll do the same thing we did before. Just come over here, take my customer view, drag and drop this right here. And boom, there's
great.
Our little application. So I hope that everyone has seen that that our designer, the CIDR designer,
mm-hmm.
is vastly improved in this release, and it's generating this really happy XAML. It's very simple to work
right.
with. We got binding builder, we got resource pickers, we got image pickers, and all without getting into the XAML.
Uh huh. Great.
I only had to type one part, which is the dedesign instance to set a thing. So I'm just really happy, and I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Great. Well, that's awesome, Carl. I'm very excited to start using this.
All right. Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate the time.